Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Your favorite hour of the day is now underway. You are locked into WKAR's current sports on this Friday, as I like to say, Friday, November 16th, 2018. It is really cold and snowy outside, isn't it? And, you know, as I stated earlier this week, I can deal with cold and snowy if just give me the sun. And it's just so gloom and doom outside, just gray skies everywhere. So we hope that we can bring some sunshine to your Friday afternoon here on Current Sports. We've got a lot to get to, a busy, busy Friday, as it usually is, as we're going to try and cover the weekend that will be local sports and beyond here on WKAR's Current Sports. Of course, we will be starting that conversation with Michigan State football as Mark D'Antonio Spartans now hit the road to play Nebraska. A noon kickoff tomorrow. The Spartans, of course, coming off the loss to Ohio State. Nebraska is a team that's sneaky, okay? If you look at what the offense has done these last few weeks, this is a team that can score, all right? And if that defense, and again, I expect Michigan State's defense to come and bring it, as they have done this entire season. But, you know, if they slip up here and there, I mean, this is a Nebraska offense that can really score and put points up on you. I mean, if you look at three of the last four games for Nebraska, with the exception of the OSU loss, they beat Minnesota. They beat Illinois last week. They also beat Bethune-Cookman, the Wildcats, in this stretch as well. I mean, they scored over 53 points against Minnesota, against Bethune-Cookman, 45 points in that game. They gave Ohio State a run for its money, a 36-31 final there. So only losing by 5 points, able to keep up with the fast-paced Ohio State offense. And also, looking at what they did last week against Illinois, they had over 54 points. 54 to be exact, over 50 points in that game. So averaging, when you look at the last four games for Illinois, they are averaging around 48 points per game. Pretty impressive stuff. So, Michigan State, Nebraska, that game will be a noon kickoff on Fox. We'll preview that one. We will also talk a little bit about the Detroit Lions and Carolina Panthers game on Sunday, and we will have Reflection Friday for you all. I want to hear from all of our listeners out there. What are your thoughts on Michigan State and Nebraska and the Lions' upcoming matchup against the Carolina Panthers this weekend, or anything that you want to get off your sports noggin? Please do so by dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/WKAR News, where our live stream is right there. Comment below that video. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliner. right, and we start with the biggest news out of Michigan State Athletics. Can we give some props to Damon Rensing and the Michigan State men's soccer team? I mean, just a hand clap for them right now. Unreal what Damon has been able to build here with MSU men's soccer. And
you
it was
like
a
that.
Snowy night.
You like
yep.
that?
Kirk, I love it. I love it. I love what Damon is doing here in East Lansing. Great. Shout out to Jack Kerwin. He's really been on that Kirk Cousins drop. I love that stuff. All right. Michigan State men's soccer, if you don't know, number 22 in the nation, MSU ended up beating UIC yesterday in the first round of the NCAA tourney. Again, the weather not great, cold and snowy, and I don't know how these soccer players do it. I mean, it was really cold last night, and these guys are out there with a T-shirt on, shorts and cleats, no headgear, no, not like you can bundle up. I don't know how they do it. I just don't know how they do it.
They had the long sleeves on, Al.
Well, yeah, but still, man, it was freezing cold last night.
I was watching it. People were slipping over all over the place.
I was layered up. I'm wearing a North Face with my winter jacket walking out of the station last night, and I'm freezing. And they're out there just with a long sleeve shirt on. So it's amazing. They're built different, I guess. Soccer players are built different. The Spartans, get this, scored in the 6th minute with a goal by senior forward Ryan Sierakowski and the 19th minute from fellow senior forward Hunter Baroni. Now, MSU improved to 11-4-4 on the year, advances to take on number 4 seed Louisville this Sunday in Kentucky, 5 p.m. first kick there. Sierakowski netted his team leading 6th goal of the season and takes over the team in points lead now with 16 as he is trying to become the first Spartan player to lead the team in points in 4 straight seasons. Senior goalkeeper Jimmy Haig, he registered his 8th shutout of the season and 26th career clean sheet, maintaining the number 2 spot on the MSU career shutout list. Big stuff there. Damon and his squad deserves all the props in the world right now. Good luck to the Spartans as, again, they take on Louisville this Sunday. All right, Michigan State women's basketball head coach Susie Merchant announced her class, signing national letters of intent for the class of 2019 on Wednesday. The class is ranked number 6 by ESPN Women's Hoop Girls. The future Spartans are, and forgive me if I mess up these names, Julia Arault from Grosse Pointe North, Sydney Dodd from Indiana, Maura Joyner from Saginaw, Taylor Parks from Cleveland, and Eliza Winston from Muskegon. You'll certainly get familiar with all of those names as they come on campus next year, all right? Arault, 6'2 guard, ranked 14th in her position, 75th overall. Dodd is 6'5, a 6'5 senior, ranked 14th and 85th overall, 14th at her position. 70% shooting from the field as a junior. Joyner, 5'10 guard, ranked 13th at her position, 57th overall, 3-time AP All-State, earned Army National Guard, that team award as well. Parks, 6'2 forward, ranked 11th at her position. And Winston, 5'7 guard, ranked 80th at her position, 70th overall. Pretty impressive stuff. All right, MSU hockey. The focus now for MSU, 4-4 overall, is the start of the 24-game Big Ten season and some formidable challenges against some of the best teams in the nation. 6 Big Ten teams have been ranked in the top 13. First up, number 8 Notre Dame. Tonight, 7 p.m. and Saturday at 7:30 at Munice Arena. Last year, the Spartans were swept at home, so they are coming with something to prove this weekend. Center Patrick Kotarinko, he ranks number 1 in the Big Ten, number 2 nationally in power play goals with 5. He had 3 against Ferris State in MSU's last dub, 5-3 on November 2nd. All right, Michigan State football heads to Nebraska to face the Cornhuskers of Nebraska. Tomorrow at noon in Memorial Stadium, the matchup will be televised on Fox. The Spartans, 6-4 overall, 4-3 in the Big Ten, coming off a 26-6 loss at number 8 against number 8 Notre Dame last week here in East Lansing, while Nebraska, 3-7 overall, 2-5 in the Big Ten Conference. Nebraska defeated Illinois in Lincoln
54-35. And tomorrow's game marks the 11th meeting between Michigan State and Nebraska. The Cornhuskers lead the all-time series 8-2, including a 5-1 record in games played in Memorial Stadium. A trademark of Coach Mark D'Antonio's Michigan State teams has been their ability to produce late wins in the season. Under Coach D, Michigan State has compiled a 29-12 record in November. That's a 70% win clip. Michigan State and Nebraska will also honor Mike Sadler and Sam Fultz in a pregame ceremony tomorrow. Sadler and Fultz were both tragically killed in a car accident on July 23rd, 2 years ago, while working a kicking camp near Wisconsin. Also in action in college football, of course, are the number 4 Michigan Wolverines, who will play host to the 5-5 Indiana Hoosiers. Jim Harbaugh and company will be wary to avoid looking ahead to next week's matchup against Ohio State. That ideally will, of course, decide who represents the Big Ten East in the Big Ten Championship game out in Indy at the start of December, right? But Indiana heads into this game, having lost 4 of their last 5 games. Michigan enters Saturday as a 28.5-point favorite against the Hoosiers. Kickoff scheduled for 4 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And also a handful of local teams have a shot at the state finals over the next couple of days. And there are a handful of state semifinal games tonight and tomorrow here in the local area. Division 3, DeWitt heads to Brighton to play Detroit Martin Luther King. That's the alma mater of my brother. 1 p.m. on Saturday, Division 4, Williamston plays Chelsea at Walled Lake Northern. 1 p.m. on Saturday. Division 5, Portland will take on Marine City at Howe on Saturday. Kickoff for that one is scheduled for 1 p.m. And an 8-man Division 1 football, Morris plays Pickford at Northern Michigan's campus in the finals of that tournament. Kickoff for that one scheduled for tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Now, if you're looking to attend a game locally here, a Division 1 semifinal game between Clarkston and Saline kicks off at Okemos High School on Saturday at 1 p.m. and a Division 7 semi between Cassopolis, hopefully I got that right, I think I did, and Madison Heights Madison kicks off in Jackson at 1 p.m. on Saturday. If you want to enjoy some local action, again, it will be cold. It is snowy. Dress accordingly. All right, after a 4-game win streak, the Detroit Red Wings dropped a tight game last night in Ottawa, losing 2-1 to the Senators. Michael Rasmussen, he scored the lone goal of the game for the Wings, who were even in many aspects with the Senators on the night. Shots on goal were even, and it was Drake Batherson for the Sens who scored the game winner. Next up for the Winged Will is a trip to New Jersey to face the Devils on Saturday. Puck drop scheduled for 1 p.m. And you can't forget about your Detroit Lions, right? The Lions back at home this weekend after losing at Chicago last weekend will host Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. Matt Patricia's team is 3-6 heading into this week and have lost their last 3 games. Meanwhile, Carolina is still in the hunt for the NFC South title, sitting at 6-3 with a shot at a wild card spot. All 3 of Carolina's losses have come on the road so far this season. Kickoff from Ford Field, 1 p.m. You can catch that one on Fox. Carolina currently a 4-point favorite. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can join the fun. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR.
I spoke. We're moving forward. I think there's no secret that I am an emotional player. You know, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I play with that same emotion. Sometimes it gets the best of me, and, you know, it doesn't work to my favor. I'm going to live with that, you know, because it works in my favor to the good, as my resume speaks and this team resume speaks, more so than it doesn't. And so I'm never going to change who I am. I'm going to approach the game the same way that I always do. And, you know, like I said, we'll continue to move forward. And I've read a lot about how, is this the end of the run, or is it over, or did I ruin it, or did I force Kevin to leave? You know, at the end of the day, as I've said before, whatever Kevin decided to do, whatever Clay decided to do, whatever who decides to do, we had great years together, and I support everybody wholeheartedly, 100%, because as a man, as a human being, you got the right to do what you want to do with your life.
All right, and that is how we start this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Just briefly, I want to address what you just heard. That was Draymond Green, former Michigan State hoop great, who has gone on to have a quite remarkable NBA career with the best team in the NBA, has been the best team in the NBA for quite some time, the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green, the heart and the soul of that Golden State Warriors team. But if you've been following the NBA, and heck, you don't even have to be a big NBA fan to know about this story this week. Draymond Green did get into a verbal altercation with one of the best players in the league, that being his teammate, Kevin Durant. For those of you that didn't get a chance to check out, I believe they were playing, quote me if I'm wrong on this, Jack, but I believe the Atlanta Hawks, if we can double check that, I believe they were playing the Hawks earlier this week. And it was a tie game, and Draymond Green gets the rebound. Draymond decides to dribble the full length of the floor after getting the defensive rebound. Kevin Durant, you can clearly see him in the frame saying, "Hey, pass me the ball. I'm open. Let me win this thing for us." Draymond ignores that and dribbles the full length of the floor and falls down, basically a turnover. Time expires, the game goes to overtime, and the Golden State Warriors eventually lose. But after that moment, before overtime even began, the Golden State Warriors were pretty emotionally just out of it, because Draymond and Kevin, they began to just kind of go at each other, you know, during that period, that timeout right before overtime began. You know, KD wanted the basketball, Draymond Green, you don't know exactly what they're saying. Again, you're just getting kind of this aerial view of everything happening, courtesy of the camera. And Draymond is barking at KD. And KD, you could see there's a moment where KD's just like, "All right, dude, just keep talking. Go ahead." He's trying to ignore him. But then Draymond says something that kind of gets under the skin of Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant kind of looks at him and then jaws back at him and smiles. And then Draymond gets up and starts walking the other way. Kevin Durant gets up and starts barking at him some more. And then of all players, one of the most fiery players in the NBA, who was acquired in the offseason for the Warriors, who is known for drama, DeMarcus Cousins, of all players, calms down or tries to calm down Draymond Green. How hilarious is that, right? Watching DeMarcus Cousins play the role of a therapist. I mean, hilarious, hilarious stuff. So, you know, it goes to overtime, game is over, and apparently this just carried on into the locker room. So much so that, you know, apparently Draymond Green says something that went a bit too far, because the next thing you know, the next day it was announced that Draymond Green would be suspended without pay for that next game. So Draymond Green, we don't know what he said. Kevin Durant was asked about it during his media availability and chose not to address it.
He chose to take the high road, but you could clearly see that Kevin Durant was not pleased at all. And then you just heard Draymond Green's media availability. He basically came out, issued a statement, and said, that's it. I'm not addressing it anymore. Reporters tried to follow up after Draymond Green's initial comments, which you just heard. But Draymond said, look, anybody got any basketball questions? Then another reporter tried. And he said, look, basketball questions. If you don't, it's been real. And then they went to basketball questions. So just want to say this, because Draymond Green is one of the most compelling athletes, not just in the National Basketball Association, but in all of sports. But he's one of those guys that I look at now, and, you know, and I had a conversation earlier today in the barbershop. That was like the topic. And I said, why not lead today's show with it? Because I plan to address it on yesterday's Current Sports. We just haven't gotten a chance to address it. But, you know, Draymond Green is one of those guys that if he is not on your team, If Spartan fans out there, if he did not go to Michigan State University and have the kind of career that he had here in East Lansing, just take away the fandom because of the personal connection just for a moment here. If he is not in your rooting interest due to those factors, he's not a guy that I can't see anybody liking. I just got to say that, man. You know, watching him on the basketball court and you know, and again, what makes Draymond Green a great player is the emotion that he plays with. There's a method to this madness, believe it or not, all right? If Draymond Green was not the emotional player that he is, he would not be the all-star that he is, and he would not have had or have the success that he currently has in the National Basketball Association. But I think everybody can agree that when watching Draymond Green in the NBA, it does go a bit too far sometimes. It really does. You know, sometimes I sit there saying, all right, Draymond, can you stop whining to the refs? All right, Draymond, you know, why do you got to go there? You know, all right, Draymond, can you calm down? And then the whole kicking fiasco, right, the kicks to the groin that Draymond Green was criticized for because it happened more than once, had us debating here on Current Sports whether or not Draymond Green is a dirty player. Look at a situation like this, and, you know, Jemele Hill, who is no longer with ESPN. Jemele Hill, you know, has moved on to greener pastures, I believe, and is doing a great job in those endeavors. I watched an interview with Jemele Hill on a nationally syndicated radio show. No, it was not a sports talk radio show. She was on a hip-hop radio show discussing a new documentary done by and produced by LeBron James, actually, that goes into length on how athletes are more than just athletes today. The national anthem protest, and it just gives historical context to how many athletes prior to Colin Kaepernick had been standing up for what they believe is right for quite some time. And Jemele Hill, basically, she is the narrator of this documentary. But Jemele Hill, you know, they're talking about the documentary, but they're also talking about different sports topics. And of course, this Draymond Green topic came up, and Jemele had a perfect analogy for it. Jack Kerwin behind the glass. You know, I do this all the time, though. I love relating the sports world with the relationship world, the dating world, because there are a lot of parallels. Well, Jemele likes doing this apparently as well, Jack, because she equated the Draymond Green and Kevin Durant beef to that of a married couple that may have just had a huge argument about something very important. And, you know, the argument ends, but it still lingers, right? It festers in the air to the point where, you know, if you do anything wrong, that significant other is going to blow up, not about what just happened that is wrong, but about the bigger issue, that personal issue. So she said, it's like, you know, when you had an argument with your significant other and you go to the fridge and that significant other may have left the cap off of the milk and just blows up on you for leaving the cap off of the milk. And it's like, I just left the cap off the milk. It happens. But what you really know what the real problem is, right? So it wasn't about Draymond Green not passing the basketball to Kevin Durant here. What it was really about was Kevin Durant's free agency decision. That's what is really bothering Draymond Green. It wasn't, you know, this whole drama isn't about that specific play. It's really about Draymond Green having an issue with Kevin Durant allowing the media, allowing the public to speculate where Kevin Durant or what Kevin Durant is going to do once his contract is up with the Golden State Warriors, and Draymond Green basically being upset with Kevin not coming out and saying, look, I'm back with the Golden State Warriors. You know, yeah, I'm going to be a free agent, but I plan on signing back with this team. Draymond does not like the fact that Kevin Durant has not come out and put an axe to that conversation. So that's where the true emotions lie for Draymond Green. But do you feel me on that, Jack? I know you're not a big NBA guy. I don't know how much you've watched Draymond in the league, but I can't lie, the dude annoys me sometimes, man.
I know. No, I think that's fair. Were you talking specifically about the married couple analogy? Because I think that's fair, but it's They're a married couple with a fractured relationship for the reason you just mentioned. Like, you know, they may not be on the verge of a divorce right now, but a divorce is coming. I don't think anyone's expecting Kevin Durant's going to re-up in Golden State. I think he's gone after this year.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a chance, a slim chance, though.
We were just having the conversation behind the glass, and it's that if Kevin Durant ever wants to be looked at as an all-timer, he has to go somewhere else and win somewhere where it's tougher. Because, you know, people get into the argument of, you know, Jordan having six rings and all that, but Durant's won two so far, right?
He has won two.
Yeah, two. But, I mean, anyone who's looking at these rings, they almost don't count when you factor in, you know, as an all-timer, you know, bringing rings into the discussion, because it's too easy to win for him right now in
too
Golden
easy.
State.
He went there. It was the easy road. I totally agree. It's like, you know, it's kind of like the LeBron James conversation. LeBron James, I didn't start respecting LeBron James's greatness and his rings until he went back to Cleveland and got it done.
And I'd agree with you, because I would say, even though Jordan obviously won six rings, LeBron's win against Golden State was easily better than all six of Jordan's.
It was incredible. I mean, think about the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls, Michael Jordan never went to a game seven in the finals, right? I mean, he was that dominant. The Bulls were that dominant. He was that good. I'm not saying that, you know, see, we could have this debate left or right. I'm not going to go into the whole LeBron and Jordan, but I hear what you're saying.
No, absolutely.
Totally. But, you know, it's an interesting conversation to have, though. And I get where Draymond's coming from, but you don't let your personal emotions about something that is not about the game and the task at hand fester into what you're trying to do. All right? Focus on the game, Draymond. But yeah, that's just my thoughts on Draymond Green. All right. Before we talk MSU-Nebraska, we do have two of our fantastic current sports PAs and reporters in the His House here in Studio S. I want them to kind of pub their content, because you guys are getting a lot of traction right now on our website at WKAR.org. We have Denise Spann as well as Kyle Turk in studio. And Denise, I just want you guys just to talk about your story. So what is your story about currently that is live on our website, and how can people check it out?
So my story was about the Okemos girls lacrosse team in 2009-2010. They're the best Michigan girls lacrosse team there is currently, and it's been 10 years, and they just recently got inducted into the Okemos Athletics Hall of Fame. So I kind of went back in time and talked to their coach, Bill Prehler, who was actually on the first men's lacrosse team here at Michigan State. So he's considered the godfather of lacrosse in Michigan.
Right.
And he really kind of just brought these girls together who at the time didn't have a program. They were considered a club team at Okemos, not even a varsity sport. And after a regional loss in 2008, they put their heads down, got to work, and went undefeated for 64 games.
That's amazing stuff. And there's a pretty storied tradition when it comes to that program in Okemos, right?
Yeah, they send girls off to play D1 lacrosse all the time. They have academic All-Americans for lacrosse, and they definitely put up a fight for the state championship every year.
That's great stuff. And, again, you can check that story out at WKAR.org. And I believe you guys only have one more story left, right, for the semester. Is that right, Denise?
Well,
one or two?
One and then a final project.
Yeah,
final
project.
A couple maybe.
Plus some MSU athletics, at least for me. So
yeah,
there's still a lot.
Still some content coming. All right. The heat is going to continue here at WKAR.org. You can check out Denise's story at WKAR.org. Very well written. Some great reporting. Kyle, what are you working on, my man?
Well, this one's got some perfect timing, considering Williamson's playing tomorrow in that state semifinal.
Right.
Williamson football, and it's a very common thing with these kind of mid-sized communities out here in this area, mid-Michigan. I come from Lake Orion, so I'm used to massive D1, lots of kids going to your school, budget, whatever,
right,
never a problem. But with these athletic budgets, you can only do so much in certain areas with the money you've got. So interesting thing I've learned that Williamson does is they go and they talk to local businesses, they get the support of their community. They've raised, I believe the athletic budget for Williamson sits around $16,000 a year. they raised $35,000 this year for their team, and it's really allowed them, you know, to get a couple of nice little upgrades.
Right.
It gets kind of the ease of life things that, around a football team, because there are a lot of hidden costs going on in a year for a high school football team. And so the Williamson community has really kind of made that kind of all just go away. No issues, nothing like that. It's just let the guys play football.
That's amazing. And I remember you telling me about this story last week. $35,000?
Just in a year.
In 1 year. That's incredible for a high school.
And from what you're talking to at Williamson Athletic Director Tom Hampton, it's a similar way in some of these other sports, too. There are wrestling programs as well and these kind of things.
Right.
Basketball, swimming. So the Williamson community really just seems like it comes up and supports their hometown kids.
Definitely. That's awesome stuff. All right. Well, thank you. Great stuff there, Kyle. Again, you can check out the stories from all of our current sports PAs and reporters like Kyle and Denise. Again, simply go to WKAR.org. And we also pub that content on our Facebook page at Facebook.com/WKAR News. All right. Let's talk some Spartan football now. Michigan State on the road tomorrow to take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Spartan fans right now, you know, it's really easy to gauge now, I think, Jack, how the majority, I believe, Spartan fans feel about this season. I feel like Spartan fans are finally, you know, having a week now to digest what happened at Spartan Stadium. And now looking at the schedule ahead, I mean, you got Nebraska coming up, and then, of course, the season finale against Rutgers at home next week. I think for the most part, Spartan fans are setting in and they're getting comfortable with the fact that this is a team that is not going to be an Indy for the Big Ten championship. This is a team that is not going to woo and shock everybody like we thought they were going to do prior to this season, coming off the incredible year that they had last year. I think reality is now setting in, and I feel like for the most part, Spartan fans are kind of turning the page to hoop season. Am I right in saying that?
You know, Al, it's almost like they stink or something.
Right. You know, but you know what? See, okay, the reason why Jack says that, for those who are just now tuning into current sports here in the recent weeks, I believe it was like week two or week, it was after the Arizona State.
It was after the Arizona State loss. I said we were an 8-win football team.
It was after the Arizona State loss that Jack went on the airwaves here and said that, and Alec Rio, I'm not letting Alec off the hook either here. They both said that Michigan State football, quote, stinks. Now, it depends on what your definition of stinks is. When I think of stink, I think of immediately the bottom barrel teams.
See, you're just nicer than me. That's all that means.
See, it depends on your definition. My definition is like Rutgers. When you say
stink. But you're just too nice. That's all that means.
No, I'm just saying stink. Like, when it comes to Michigan State, I don't think stink is the
stink
doesn't have one of the best defenses in the nation, Jack. Still, when you look at this defense has been spoiled because of the offense, the inept offense that we've seen all season. So it depends on your definition of the word stink. For Michigan State football, though, I tell you what, man, I'm going to lose it. I am going to flip my wig. Even I don't wear a wig, just for the record, but it's a term. I'm going to flip my wig. If I don't see Rocky Lombardi starting at quarterback against Nebraska tomorrow at noon, you won't want to be around me watching that game.
Well, I guess you're going to be pretty unpleasant then, because I'm still betting he starts.
You still believe?
I think so.
That after all of the criticism, all of the chatter, and don't tell me Coach D doesn't hear it. I mean, he heard it at the press conference.
But he's been so defiant.
He has been.
Mark
has been
so defiant.
I get that. But the fact that Brian Lewerke came out after that Ohio State loss on Saturday and said, look, I even went to the coaching staff and said, I can't do this. I can't go. That speaks volumes. And it will be gross negligence. Again, it's going to be gross negligence if we see Brian Lewerke behind center tomorrow against Nebraska. And Nebraska is a dangerous team. I just mentioned, you know, at the top of the hour how this Nebraska team is one that can score. I mean, if you want to beat Ohio State or come close to it, you got to keep up with that offense that can score. Michigan State's offense, again, just can't do that. Thus, a 26-6 final on Saturday. Nebraska, though, pushed them. 36-31, 5-point win for Ohio State. They're averaging in the past four games right now, near 48 points. I'm going with Michigan State to lose this game, Jack. I think Michigan State's going to lose this game.
Wow.
24-21. Close one.
I had them winning 23-21.
You got Michigan State winning this game?
Yes, I do. But I just know as a Spartan fan, I'm going to be frustrated the entire game. Absolutely.
Why is that? Why,
they'll probably be winning for the majority of the game and they'll have opportunities to put it away. Mm-hmm. But I just haven't liked the situations that Dave Warner and Jim Bulman have put Rocky Lombardi in. I don't ever like seeing a team in empty set outside of a 2-minute drill. And there we were in empty set inside of our own 5-yard line for like the entire third quarter.
Yeah. No,
so,
I hear that. Yeah,
so I mean, that. I'm going to be frustrated as a fan because they're not going to be running the stuff I like. I think Rocky Lombardi's absolutely a rhythm passer, and that's why it doesn't make any sense to me that seemingly every first down they take a 40-yard shot down the field. I'd like them to use the middle of the field a little bit more and go short and intermediate and take what the defense gives you. But
yeah, throw some drag routes in there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Cam Chambers on the sideline a couple times against Ohio State last week. It worked out fine, but you know, I don't think we'll see that. And I'm going to be frustrated, is my guess.
You're going with MSU to win, though. The thing. This game, you know, we mentioned the stats of how Nebraska has really owned MSU at home. This game will be at Nebraska. It's been surprising, right? It really hit me when I was going through the headliners there. But, you know, Nebraska's at home. This will be senior day for them. A lot of emotion in the building. I just got a gut feeling here. And I want to see Rocky Lombardi start. I think everybody does. I'm beating a dead horse every time I say it. Connor Mathis, you just sprinted here in Studio S. Your thoughts, Nebraska and Michigan State?
I think Michigan State is going to win it, but like Jack said, I think fans are going to be frustrated this entire game. Mm-hmm. I don't see them, even though they should. They have every indication that they should go Rocky Lombardi. I don't see him starting Rocky Lombardi. The coaching staff just seems too defiant. And
well, Mark D'Antonio. I think Dave wants Lombardi.
No, yeah.
But Mark, hey, it's above his – it's literally above Dave Warner's pay grade right now, right? What that decision comes down to. Nah. Adrian Martinez, dangerous. Adrian Martinez is a dual-threat quarterback who can burn you in a lot of different ways. And, again, the Nebraska offense is going against – you know, two strong suits here. Nebraska's stout offense going against Michigan State's stout defense. And, you know, Adrian Martinez being a dual threat quarterback, I think that's going to give Michigan State some problems. Adrian Martinez last week against, again, it's Illinois. They scored 54 points against Illinois. But just looking at what Adrian was able to do, over 300 yards that was accounted for by Adrian Martinez, also had three touchdowns in that matchup. Adrian can ball, and I think he is going to give the Michigan State defense some problems in this game. That's the big factor for me here, Jack, coupled with the fact that they're also playing at Nebraska.
No, that's fair enough. And I think in their entire history, State's only won one time at Nebraska. It's one of the best environments in college football from what I've heard. I need to go there sometime, absolutely. But no, I'm hearing everything you're saying. I just think at the end of the day, the talent disparity is going to be there. And Scott Frost is a hell of a coach, obviously. But right now, he just doesn't have the horses that Mark D'Antonio has. So while I'm not in love with State's offensive staff at all, I still think they're going to have enough to pull away.
Yeah, definitely. We were all talking here and debating. Remember the debate with Justin Fromer about Scott Frost's job in his first year?
That's a classic Fromer take.
Ridiculous debate,
classic
right?
Classic Fromer take.
First year, yeah, it was a classic Fromer take.
I love
take.
Fromer, but that's a classic Fromer take.
It really is, because they lost six straight to start the season. And, you know, we sat here, Justin brought up the discussion, well, will he lose his job? I'm like, dude, did you see what he did, you know, prior to coming to Nebraska? I mean, give him a mulligan at least for this year. Then they beat Minnesota, and then they ended up beating Bethune-Cookman. We're very competitive against Ohio State, so I think that tune is changing now. All right, your thoughts. Michigan State, Nebraska. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. When we come back from this first break, we will have Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Trainer Johnny Lewis, who will be joining us. We're going to be jealous when it comes to Johnny for a long time, at least throughout the fall and winter months here, because he's out in Arizona. He'll be joining us from Arizona each and every Friday and has been for the last 2 weeks. He'll give you some health tips that you can use in the gym and in the kitchen. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Before we welcome to the show, Johnny Lewis, Blessed Body Fitness Trainer, stationed out in Arizona, MSU alum as well. Before we get to Johnny Lewis, I do want to go to our phone lines. We do have a caller, dear friend of the show, Mike from Saginaw wants to weigh in. Mike, what's up, my man?
What's up, man? Before I talk about football, I just want to make this point about Kenny Goins. He come a long way, man.
He has, hasn't he? From a walk-on to now starting on the MSU men's basketball team, being very productive. He's worked on his jump shot. You know, he led Michigan State, I believe, in rebounding against Louisiana Monroe earlier this week. Kenny Goins is a very hard-working player, and you know, you love to see stories like that, Mike.
Oh, yeah, I do. I was going to say, man, is they really talking about messing with Scott Frost, man?
No. No, that was just a take from one of our current sports PAs who joins us regularly on the show, Justin Frommer. Justin, you know, he brought up the debate, you know, whether or not Scott Frost should lose his job when Nebraska started the season like 0-6. And we're just sitting there saying, look, man, did you see what he did last year? I mean, come on, man, give the guy a break. It's Nebraska, for goodness sake.
Did you think, I'm serious about this, do you think a college team will fire their coach in the first year?
Because no.
Pro teams do that.
It depends on how bad it is. I mean, it has to be really, really bad, Mike. I mean, there has to be, like, no control whatsoever. The players have totally tuned him out. Maybe a scandal on the side. It has to be really, really bad in order for a first-year head coach to get fired.
All right. I want to talk about Michigan State. Now, Michigan State, they probably know what they have to get when they recruit out recruiting players. I want to know, do you see that Michigan State can get back in the top echelon of the Big Ten Conference, even though they got all seasons lately, you know, and Michigan's coming back strong, you know, they recruit. Oh, no. Okay, then. I'm sorry about that, Al. I just want to know, do Michigan State is going to come back?
Michigan State will be back. I just don't know how immediate it will be. Because right now, what you can count on is Michigan State's defense being competitive every single year. It's just the offense, man. I'm just not confident in Dave Warner. I'm not confident in whoever the quarterback of the future is going to be. I don't know. There's a lot of question marks offensively for me. But they'll be back in the thick of things. I mean, just look at Mark D'Antonio's track record. I'm not going to rule out Mark D'Antonio after a bad year. Just look at the 3-9 season and what they were able to do after that. So, yeah. All right, Mike. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
All right. It's time now to welcome Johnny Lewis to the show, a segment that we bring to you each and every Friday here on WKAR's Current Sports. I know how the winter months can be here in Michigan. You know, it's easy to live the fit life when it's beautiful outside, right? When it's summertime and you want to be outdoors, you want to take that jog, you want to take that run. But, you know, when it's cold and snowy, you just want to stay up in the apartment or in the house and just watch Netflix all day, all right, which is not healthy at all. So throughout these winter months, we are welcoming Johnny Lewis, Blessed Body Fitness Trainer, stationed out in Arizona, for a segment we call Fit Fridays.
My own friends, and we just want to pop your off.
Royce, it's sweating time.
That was the pre-warmer to get you ready for the warmer, to get you ready for the pre-workout, followed by the workout, which precedes the post-workout. Then we're going into a little 60-minute warm down.
Okay, the first exercise I'm going to show you is what we call the bench press,
a basic exercise that every beginner should do no matter what sport you're in.
But don't look for an easy way out. Nobody wants to work hard these days. Everybody wants the easy way, the 20-minute abs, the 10-minute this, 10-minute that. Earn it.
That's right. Earn it. I love that. I love that snippet. It's time for Fit Fridays, ladies and gents, boys and girls, where we welcome fitness trainer, MSU alum from Detroit, Michigan, my brother from another mother, Johnny Lewis, who is the founder of Blessed Body Training.
Johnny, how you doing, my man? Happy Friday yet again.
Hey, happy Friday, Al. How you doing? I'm pretty good over here. It's funny, I heard you mention the snow and the cold in Michigan. I'm actually going to be in the snow tomorrow because I'm going up for Flagstaff, the hike up there in Flagstaff. So I'll be right there with y'all in the cold.
Well, I think the difference is, Johnny, it's a choice for you. It is a choice, right? I mean, I woke up today and said, are you kidding me? I mean, just gloomy skies, snow everywhere. And you know how it is when that first snow hits. Nobody knows how to drive, and it's like they forgot how to drive in snow. So,
We need a little bit of rain out here, and people can't drive. So.
Right, exactly. All right, J. Lou, let's dive right into it, man. Because this week, we'll start, because, you give a healthy food tip and also a tip that's useful in the gym when it comes to our workouts. So I want to start, before we get to the healthy food tip, let's dive into your fitness tip in the gym, because I know you want to talk about online training and workout plans, which are pretty popular. YouTube is really pop because of this, Johnny.
Yeah, so the reason... So the reason that they're gaining popularity is because personal training, one-on-one training is pretty expensive, man. So the online training is the future. In 2018, moving on to 2019, you know, we have so many YouTube videos, and it's really more convenient for a lot of people. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying last week about accountability. If you're going to buy one of these online plans, you have to have somebody that's going to motivate you to get in the gym still. So it ties back to accountability partner. So if you're going to buy an online plan, I still encourage you to get an accountability partner, because that's going to be your motivation. Because the online plan is basically essentially going to tell you what to do in the gym, but it's not going to necessarily motivate you. So yeah, I really want to encourage the online plans, and it could be beneficial to our listeners. So
yeah, definitely. And you know, and you brought up something interesting, Johnny, because I tell you what, it's real easy though to go on YouTube and just type in a workout and you can get it for free. Why would you buy one? I should say, because there's so many that are for free that are right there on YouTube.
So the thing about YouTube is YouTube will tell you what to do, right? But like the online plans will tell you when to take the rest day. They'll tell you how to break up the sets. It's so much more detailed. So, and they're pretty cheap. You can get them for like $20 to $40 on average. So I think it's worth the buy, and it's like a one-time payment opposed to paying monthly for like a trainer. So that's the difference. Like, it's going to be more detailed, and a lot of people will still watch YouTube videos and still not know like what to do. Or I mean, you can find some good ones for everyday training, but for like the athletes watching, sometimes they want to build muscle by a certain time, and the online plans will break it down to like 8-week plans, 12-week plans, and a lot of them will have like a person that makes the plan can check in your status, get status updates, and see if they need to tone up the workout or tone down, because essentially you want to meet your goals. So that's the benefit of the online plans opposed to just watching YouTube. So.
And I'm curious, Johnny, a lot of these online plans that you can get, you know, right online are many of them in the gym, or do a lot of them encompass just being in your living room and working out?
So you have all kinds of online plans. You have stuff you can do at home, workouts you can do anywhere, like body weight workouts. You have some that focus on the gym. So you just got to basically go based on what you need and what you have, like what kind of research you have. So if you don't happen to have a gym, then you could definitely find some home workout plans out there.
So there is no excuse, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, no excuse. I don't want to hear, oh, well, it's snowing outside, I can't get it. Do it in your living room, all right? Buy an online plan and get to work in your living room. All right. And what is the healthy...
basement, garage.
Right, exactly. Find a room, all right? All right, Johnny, with Thanksgiving coming up, man, and I cannot wait to have my cheat day next week. I can taste my mom's macaroni and cheese right now. But due to Thanksgiving coming up... Oh, without a doubt, man. I know you wanted to tackle the benefits of turkey.
Yeah, so turkey, we all love Thanksgiving, and we all want to enjoy our food, and turkey is like what the number one thing for Thanksgiving for most families. So I want to talk about skinless white meat is the best part of the turkey, And turkey is pretty low in fat, high in protein. And I say skinless because if you remove the skin, it's actually lower in cholesterol as well. So that's the healthiest way to enjoy turkey. And, you know, like, it's a lot of athletes out there, so you definitely want to get that protein. And so I encourage turkey. I'm not eating turkey right now because I'm pescatarian. But, you know, right. I eat turkey for years, and I think it's a really good source of protein. And, also, I want to give three quick tips on how to enjoy Thanksgiving without packing on the extra pounds.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah. So, number one, I just want to say use smaller plates or smaller proportions. Naturally, if you use like a saucer plate, you're going to put less food on the plate. Number two, don't skip breakfast or lunch. You don't want to try to save room because that could cause overeating. You want your metabolism to stay balanced by eating throughout the day. So avoid that. And number three, if you happen to have guests over, send plates home. Send like the extra pies home if people are willing to take them. And if you happen to be traveling for Thanksgiving, just make sure you try to keep it at a one plate max that you do take home.
I tell you what, man, it's going to take a lot of discipline from me, Johnny. Man, because...
Yeah, it takes discipline, but just try to keep that in mind next weekend or next Thursday.
Those are all great tips, Johnny, because, you know, I think that's what happens right on Thanksgiving. You know that the dinner is coming later on that afternoon or in the evening, and you want to save up. You don't want to eat too much, but then when it does come time to eat, I mean, you end up just packing that plate, and then you're just unloosening that belt to make room for your belly, right?
Right.
For sure. All right. Well, that's great stuff. Johnny, I appreciate it, my man. Again, you can follow him on Twitter. Follow Johnny Lewis on Twitter. That's going to be at blessed_body_. You can also follow Johnny on Instagram at blessed_body. So, Johnny, I appreciate it. Do you want to give a prediction on Michigan State and Nebraska tomorrow?
See, after last week in Ohio State, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I think we're going to win for sure. I don't know the numbers. I'm going to say 18-12. I think it might be a low-scoring game. Who knows? Hopefully our defense could make up for our offense because you never know with the offense. So,
preach on.
That's all I'm going to say about that. So I'm going to go with MSU.
All right. You got so you, green. Right?
We got it.
All right, Johnny Lewis, blessed body fitness trainer. Stationed out in Arizona. Johnny, appreciate your time again, my man.
All right, thanks for having me. I'll stay blessed.
You got it, always. All right, to close out the show here, Reflection Friday, where we reflect on the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports, bringing you some of our favorite moments, maybe some of our favorite guests, and maybe bring up a few stories that we have not gotten a chance to highlight. For me, Jack, I'm going to go with Lansing Ignite. You know, we had Nate Miller on the show earlier this week, just hours after he was announced as the first head coach of Lansing Ignite, which is the now new professional soccer team here in the Lansing area. And, you know, they're going to be playing right downtown at Cooley Law School Stadium. It always amazes me just how many fans of soccer there are in this area. And heck, when I was driving around Lansing this morning, I saw three different billboards pubbing Lansing Ignite. It's truly amazing what Jeremy Sampson has been able to do. So that is my highlight of the week. Anything for you, Jack?
Sure. We'll say the Detroit Lions practicing out in a blizzard yesterday when they have four indoor games coming up. That was hysterical when I saw it on Twitter.
They practiced outside?
Yeah. You didn't see it?
I did not.
Oh, yeah. And their next
that.
Four games are all indoors.
I get Matt Patricia's trying to make them tough, right?
Yeah. And he gave like a press conference like right after it, and he was very winded.
Oh, boy. Matt Patricia.
You could tell.
I kind of feel bad for Matt Patricia, but I kind of don't. It's the Lions. All right. Line two. Ray from Indiana has been waiting patiently. Ray, what's up, man?
Hey, congratulations, Johnny. You beat Villanova that lost four starters. When the game was counted, it was big. You got the hell beat out of you, didn't you, Johnny, the puppet man? You know what? You take your Maize and Blues strings off your forehead and get in the closet and get another box of chocolates that you stole from me.
But Ray, you got to admit, You got to admit, personal things aside, that was an impressive win over Villanova.
They lost all their starters.
But still, that's the number eight team in the nation.
Yeah, they were ranked number eight. Come on. We know that a lot of these rankings are from last year, what they did.
I hear you. All right, Ray. I know
you know, I'm not saying Michigan probably won't be decent. I tell you, when you play them bullies up there, you got to show up with your game A plan and put a whipping on for me, okay?
Yeah. John Beilein, man, he's certainly built something special, though, in Ann Arbor. You can't deny that, Ray.
Well, he won the national title. That's what counts.
That's true. He's gotten close twice. All right, Ray. Any prediction
He hell beat out him in the two national championship games, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true. He lost to Louisville, and then, of course, lost to Villanova last year.
He did play Louisville tough, though. I got it.
They did. They really did.
The Villanova game. But
it's like that national championship never happened for Louisville because of the whole scandal with Rick Pitino.
Four of those starters, Villanova, went to NBA. How are they doing, anyways?
Well, I just saw on my phone, actually, before I walked into the studio, that DiVincenzo, who is like the man in that game, he is out for like 3 weeks with a quad injury. So I don't think anybody's really blown up. So, yeah. But there you have that.
Okay.
All right, Ray.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, my man. Appreciate it. And that's a great segue as we come up on the final minute here on WKAR's Current Sports. Jack Kerwin, Alec Rio, Connor Mathis, and the PA, the entire Current Sports team, they'll be pinch hitting for me next week, Monday through Wednesday at least. And then Thursday and Friday, we will have best of shows for you all for the Thanksgiving holiday. So I bid you all adieu by saying happy Thanksgiving. Be safe out there. Don't eat too much. Again, listen to Johnny Lewis, all right? You know, portions. And if you don't feel like going out in that just really bad, yucky weather that is Michigan, work out in your living room. No excuse, folks. Until then, though, we'll see you next week. Be easy, people.